Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. We're going to ask that you still remain in prayer for our pastor. He's recovering still from surgery, so Brother Lynn will be preaching for us again this morning. So be in prayer for both of those, and Nancy too, I guess, his nurse. So pray for her as well. Good to see everyone here this morning. It's good to be in God's house together. We're going to stand and sing, Come Christians, Join to Sing, and then after that we'll have a welcome song. So let's stand and greet each other and sing as we sing, Come Christians, Join to Sing.
Joy to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. His goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen.
Again, it's my pleasure to welcome you. If we have visitors today, special welcome to you. Let's greet each other as we sing, This is the Day.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Thank you. You may be seated. Welcome each of you here, and welcome those who have joined in listening by radio and joined in on Facebook and YouTube. Welcome them to our service this morning as well. Busy week here in our church with upward signups this week. So if you could help us with upward signups, we'd sure appreciate that. That'll be Monday night from 6 to 8, and then Thursday night from 6 to 8 here in the gym. So if you could help us with that, we'd appreciate that. We've got several kids already signed up. So remember that this week. And I think that's the main announcement. We'll have our regular services on Wednesday night. And then there's a note in the bulletin about children's Christmas practice. Take note of that. That'll be on Wednesday, November the 9th as well. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we assemble together this morning, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your presence that's here with us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love and guidance and direction in our life. Lord, we pray for those who could not be here this morning. Pray for those as they recover and maybe are not feeling well at home. We just pray that you be close to them in a special way. Comfort the hearts of those who may have lost loved ones. Lord, and I just pray for Lynn as he brings a message today. Pray that you'd speak through him. I pray as we lead in the worship, God, we would lift up your name, where all the praise, honor, and glory be for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Next hymns we're going to be singing is Open My Eyes That I May See, and then I Am Resolved. So you join in with us in our hymn singing this morning.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest high, to thee.
Thank you. We're going to enter time of praise and worship singing now. I've been asked that we sing about heaven this morning. So that's the two songs we'll be singing this morning, all focused on heaven. And then Brian Russell will have our special music, and that will be centered on heaven as well. So you join in with us as we sing some of these old favorites I'm sure you'll enjoy. Stand with us on the first one if you're able to stand. And then we'll let you sit on the second one.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. To hold me here. I caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I am going home. Praise God, I am going.
You may be seated. Another one of the praise team's favorite songs is the Hymn of Heaven. It's a very popular song out just now on Christian radio. Hope you enjoy it. The Hymn of Heaven.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we've prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord, so let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed holy. God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that we can sing about an eternal home where we know one day we will see you face to face, and with the thousand generations we'll be lifting up your name. Until that day, God, I pray that we would be all about singing your praise, lifting up your name, and sharing the good news with those we come in contact with. Thank you for this opportunity we have to sing your praises. I pray that you'd open our hearts as we receive your word today. In Christ's name, amen.
Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it said you can't go back home again. Things will not ever be as good as they've been. But I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you will know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, then let me dream on. Call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, but I call it home.
Give a round of applause for the praise team and Brian this morning. We appreciate them and the practicing and all the things that go on behind the scenes to bring us this special music. So we appreciate them very much this morning. Continue to be in prayer for John as he is on the mend. So we ask you to remember him in prayer and lift him up. This morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 4. This morning, I want to bring a message about the call. I want to look at this with an interesting observation this morning about the career of three of the apostles and how that those careers also influenced the call that Jesus Christ gave them to go out into the world and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Peter, Paul, and John is who I want to speak about this morning. Those three apostles had different callings in their occupations, and those occupations took them on out into the world to be used out into the world to serve Jesus Christ this morning. We're going to observe that their spiritual significance in their occupations that these three had engaged when Jesus called them to go out into the world and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 4, starting at verse number 18 this morning. Very familiar scripture this morning. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately left their nets and followed him." Verse 21 says, "Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Let us bow our head. Our Heavenly Father, today, let us look into these apostles this morning, Lord. Let us look unto their lives and how they, through their occupations and through what Jesus Christ had called them, prepared them to be able to go out into the world that they may see souls saved and lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, today we ask you, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, open up our eyes, and open up our ears spiritually, Lord God, that we will take this word in and, Lord God, apply it to our lives, that we may be able to serve you in the way that you have called us to do, Lord God. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first one I want to look at this morning, we're told in the scripture that when Peter was called, he was busy what? He was busy fishing. He was busy casting his nets out of a boat and bringing in a haul of fish and then bringing those fish ashore for processing. We also see Paul and his calling here this morning because of what Paul was called to do. Now, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 31, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, we understand of how Paul was called by Jesus Christ. He was on the road to Damascus. He was going to gather in some more Christians and bring them back into the city. And Jesus Christ calls out to him and strikes him with a bright light, it says. And that Paul falls down onto the ground and his eyes, he can no longer see. But he hears Jesus. And Jesus asks him, he says, "Paul, why do you continue to kick against me? Why do you continue to go against me? Why? You're a wise man. You know the Old Testament. You know these things. Why?" And we all know the story of how Saul at the time, Paul, goes into the city. They pray over him. His eyes are restored. And from that point, he goes preaching Jesus Christ boldly. But do you know his occupation? In Acts chapter 18, it tells us what his occupation was. "And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers." So we have one who is called, who is a fisherman, who casts out his nets, works off a boat, and catches fish. We have Paul by his trade. Knowing Paul was a very wise man, he was very well educated. He was a tent maker. He was one that would make dwellings. Now let's look at John for just a second. John. In the same scripture I read to you earlier, in Matthew 21, it says that John was called from Jesus. He said, "Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother, in the boat with Zebedee." I'm going to move on to verse 22. Verse 21. "And in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending nets." Mending their nets. If you know anything about throwing out a net, if you ever go to the beach and try to catch the whatever's out there, sometimes you pull it back and there'll be a hole in it. Well, those nets have to be mended so that the fish can't escape. Well, John evidently was a great mender of nets. He was there with his father and his other brother, and they were just mending nets, getting them ready to go back out for the great fishing. So John was one of those that mended nets, and he was the beloved apostle who also was a fisherman. But Jesus called him when he was on shore with his brother. He wasn't fishing. He was on shore, and he was mending nets. Now, what I want to do is go back to where their occupations bleed into what Jesus has called them to do. Peter. We know that he was a fisherman. We know that he was one who cast the nets out and brought the hauls in of fish. But in Acts chapter 2, it says that Peter, after he was restored, remember last week where I brought you the message of Peter being restored to the ministry by Jesus Christ personally, coming to him and speaking to him and restoring him back in the faith. We see Peter here in 2 Acts, Acts chapter 2, where Peter, it says, stands up and he raises his voice and he begins to preach. He begins to spread the gospel. He preaches repentance of sin. He preaches those things of planting the seed. Church today, let me say this. What Jesus Christ has called all of us to do here, that's sitting here today, is to plant the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the hearts of people that you pass by. That's what Jesus Christ has called us to do. A lot of people use the excuse that I don't have that ability. I don't have that ability to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Let me stop you right there. Paul even said that it was not for him to do the miracle of saving. It says that he was to plant the seed, and who was to give the increase? God. God was to give the increase. So folks, let me say this, and whether you're young or old here today, whether you're a student in school or wherever you may do, whatever game you may play outside for hobbies, let me tell you something. You have the ability in each and every place you go to plant the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and never possibly ever say a word about it. You want to know why? Because it may be like your actions. It may be your actions that you use. Maybe you work at a factory. Maybe you work at a plant. Maybe you work in the utilities. Maybe you work whatever. In that, all you're required to do is to plant the gospel seed in someone's heart. How do you do that? By how you act. How you act. People will understand and know who you are by the way you react to things. They will know that you're a Christian when you shake off things and work through things, and you're a humble person, and you're one of those people who will work with others and be able to try to resolve the problem instead of fighting and bickering with someone else. One who may even go up to someone who's in a time of distress and say, hey, can I pray with you? Or I'm praying for you. Peter was that one who boldly proclaimed the gospel. He wasn't there to perform the miracle of Jesus Christ coming into the hearts of people. What he was there to do was what Jesus called him to do, was to be the rock of the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is calling you to do, is to be part of the building block, part of the foundation of Jesus Christ by spreading the gospel. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. All you've got to do is be willing to cast your net out and let God give the increase. Peter was that one. He preached boldly. He preached about repentance. You can all find that in Acts chapter 2 if you read that this afternoon. Verse 38 says, when Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what verse 38 of chapter 2 says. That's all he done was preach that repentance. Come to Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do tonight, today, folks, is to go out into the world and proclaim Jesus Christ, whether it's in your actions or the words you speak. All you have to do is proclaim that. What made Peter great about this? He was used to casting the net out. He was used to casting that net out and whatever is there and bringing it in. His occupation prepared him for what Jesus was wanting him to do, was to gather in the multitudes, to preach the gospel, to see lives changed by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Same thing is called by you today. Same thing. Paul. Now we want to look at Paul. As I said earlier, Paul was a very educated man. He knew the Old Testament. He spoke in the synagogues. He was in the synagogue with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was a very prominent man, but he was also a tent maker. That was his occupation. What does a tent maker do? He makes a dwelling. He makes a dwelling place. He makes something that somebody can stay in. But we see where Paul's prominent ministry, he was called to make a dwelling place for people to come in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim that gospel and build churches. We know Peter first went to the Jews. He went to preach to the Jews. Paul went out and spread it to the Gentiles. He went to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. But Paul also used that understanding of what he was doing with a tent to make a dwelling place in each and every place that he went. Paul was one of those who would go out and build the house of God, the church in which the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God would dwell. Paul was given the task of building the house of God. So we see how his tent making, not only was it just his tent making skills of a dwelling, but you know what? He had great interaction with people in the world. If you're a tent maker, guess what you're doing? You're going to somebody and saying, hey, how many square foot do you need of that? How big do you need that tent? Let me see where you're living. He develops a relationship with the people. Church today, that's exactly what we have to do as Christian men and women, is develop a relationship with people. We have to be there for people. We have to understand their needs and the things that are needed in their life. It's like the second harvest that comes here to the church. It's an impact into the community to help others. And through that action, without many words said, it shows that the people, that this church cares for the community and reaches out to them and wants to build that dwelling place that they can come and possibly worship, whether it's here or some other church, that they will go and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was that one. His occupation of a tent maker helped him to build the church also. Interacted one to another. Then we see John the Beloved. It says in 1 John 1:9, that's what was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. What was John's occupation? We understand he was a fisherman. But when Jesus called him, he was doing a task. He was mending. He was mending nets. If you read in the books of John that he had penned by the Spirit of God, and even the book of Revelations, we see that John was one of those who held the gospel up. He's the one who mended the gospel when it might have been falling apart. John was bringing nothing new. He was not adding to nor taking away from the Word of God. All John was doing was mending what was there to stay whole. Why do I say that? But by the time Peter and Paul had pretty much finished their ministries, there had been a lot of issues going on in the church of adding to the gospel. We hear it today. Well, if you'll give me this, God will give you that. We hear it all the time. You can turn on the television and hear it. Or we may add works to it. If you work hard for the Lord, you know, God will restore you. Well, let me say this morning. It's about your heart this morning. It's about how much you love Jesus Christ. And let me say this. If you love Jesus Christ and you love the church and you love the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will not have no problem or anybody even probably to tell you that you give to the church so the gospel can be spread. And not only that, but you will work for the Lord too. You'll work for the Lord. But what was happening was there was a deterioration of the gospel. They were adding works and they were adding a little bit of this and a little bit of that to that of just being saved by the Holy Spirit of God, by believing. John was that mender. He was that one who took the gospel as plain as it is, and he put it back into the solidness that it needed to be to the Christian people. Church, today, that's what we need from you and me and everyone else, is to preach that which is of the Word of God, not adding to nor taking away. Now, I want to round all this up by saying we saw Peter, who was called by Jesus Christ, and he even called him the rock, the Petra, that the foundation, he would add to the foundation of Jesus Christ, which Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone, that Paul would be one of those to add to the church souls. We see Paul, who was a tent maker, who goes out to the uttermost parts of the world spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and build churches to bring people into the dwelling place of God. And lastly, we see John. John, who wants to upgird the gospel, wants to support it, wants to amend it. He wants to make it as true as possible without all the other things mixed in with it. He mends it together. So let me ask you this morning, church. What is your calling? We hear that all the time, don't we? You take these little things on the web to find out what your calling is. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has given each one who is accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, He has given you a calling. It may be by your voice as the praise team sets up here and sings wonderful praise songs. It may be the choir that sings praises. He's given you a voice. It may be the teacher in the school who is able to plant that seed of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know. Don't get me wrong. I know that's a hard situation because of what goes on in the schools. But I know this. If you do that which is right before God, it will plant the seed in a child's heart. You may work in a factory. You may work in a place of which there's a lot of people. Where I work, there's over 5,000 people. In that factory, in that place, you're required by Jesus Christ, not by the company, but by Christ, to plant a seed in someone's heart. It may be that person that works beside you. They see how you react and act to things and how you go about your life and all those things. It may be that you have a Bible study. Some companies have that now. That you all get together and you get to study the Word during a break or something. But the call is that you are to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be retired. You'll say, where do I have that opportunity? Wherever you may go. The world is your neighbor. The world is your mission field. Every person you pass during the day, the people you may see, meet, or greet, that's your call. That's your mission field. We need to understand that Jesus Christ has called us to something. We have upward basketball getting ready to happen, right? All these young people being here, running up and down. Yeah, it's control chaos at times. It's control chaos. But just like the tryouts, there needs to be people to help there. People to help out in the concessions. People to help in coaching and refereeing and all those things. Church, the church here at Blairland has given you an opportunity of a mission field. And all the parents that come in for those things and all those kids. It is your mission field. It's your calling to reach out and plant the seed. You may say, Pastor, I don't know what to do if someone come to me and said, I need what you got. I need what you've got. I need the Jesus Christ you talk about. I need the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You'll say, where do I go? Well, Romans chapter 10 is the best place I know for you to go. If you want to show them in the Word of God what it takes to be saved, is Romans chapter 10, starting at verse number 9. I'm going to read this to you because it's really simple to be able to present this to someone. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. Plain and simple. You make confession with your mouth, and that you believe in your heart, it says, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10 says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go on down two more verses. Verse 13 says, for whosoever, that's anybody, I don't care what your color is, what race you are, it's everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Simple. Doesn't take a preacher to do that. You know why? Because God's given us all this word right here. Same word. What's your call today? What's your call? Well, let me close in this. Your call, you have to be obedient to what He calls you to do. He's calling you. He sure is. Don't spin your wheels by questioning God and questioning, but be obedient to the last thing that God tells you. Speaks to your heart. Tells you you need to be involved in or need to be doing for His glory. Now, the litmus test for what God is calling you to do is His Word. Okay? His Word is the litmus test. If it doesn't confine with God's Word, it ain't what God's calling you to do. It's God's call, not your call. Got it? It's God's call, not your call. C.S. Lewis once said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Pray. Pray for God to redirect your focus to His will instead of His will to you. Remember, God's not on your time frame, He's on His time frame. It's about His will, not your will. It's about what God is calling you to do. You have a gift and a talent, use it. If you have a gift and a talent, use it. I've heard this for years. If you don't use your talent, God will give it to somebody else. Use it. Do what God is asking you to do. And lastly, church, and I'm going to close. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in what the Word is saying. You may say, some of this doesn't pertain to me or whatever. Yes, it does. Because God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. And when you're one on one with God, you'll hear that call. You'll know what to do. You'll lean on Him more than you ever have leaned. This morning, church, what is your call? Peter, Paul, and John had a call. That had a calling from Jesus Christ. What is your call this morning? What's the Lord calling to you, for you to do in this time? Maybe it's to come and accept Him as your Savior. Maybe you need to take that first step as accepting Christ as your Savior. Maybe it's that you need to come and pray and ask God to reveal that calling. Or maybe you just got somebody you want to pray for. I don't know, but God knows your heart. And you need to do what God's asking you to do today. What is your call this morning? What are you going to do for Jesus Christ? Will you be a seed planter? And will you do the will that God has called you to do? Let us bow our head. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this Scripture this morning. We thank You for these three that we have observed through Your Word, and what they done and what Your calling was and how it affected them and how did it move them, Lord God, in such a mighty way. Lord God, today help us to realize that we have a hand in the church in some form or fashion. We have a calling. We have the Word that teaches us that we have a calling from You. The calling, first and foremost, Lord, we know is to plant a seed. Plant the seed of salvation. Plant the seed of the Word of God. Plant the seed of Jesus Christ. And as Your Word says, Lord God, You, Lord Heavenly Father, will give the increase. But it is our job, Lord, to plant that seed. Lord God, today, we ask You again to be with John. We ask You to be with those that are struggling, those that are homebound, Lord God. We pray for them. And Lord God, we just give You all the honor and the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand, please.
Just as I am without one thing, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to
today, coming to the Lord's house, His dwelling place. Now I ask you to go from this place and spread the gospel, to plant the seed that Jesus Christ has asked us to do. God bless you.
Thank you, Lynn. We're going to close our service this morning with "Soon and Very Soon We're Going to See the King."
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.